Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give Thee our heartfelt thanks, Lord, that Thou hast blessed us so abundantly and so richly, hast given unto us of Thy favor, and has brought us together here in this Thy house that we have dedicated to worship and praising Thy name. And so, Father, as Thy word would go forth, as we would pray unto Thee, as we would lift up Thy name through song, Father, we just humbly pray that Thou wouldst be with us in our fellowship, in our time together here as we laud and magnify Thy name. May all that would be said and done be to Thine honor and to Thy glory, for Thou alone art worthy, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2 and read the entire chapter. 1 Peter chapter number 2.
Nađem da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz prve poslanice Petrove, druga glava. Prva poslanica Petrova, druga glava.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, unto the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffer wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. In the beginning portion of this chapter, we read that as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And so when we think of a babe and how it can only handle milk, and it grows thereby, and it as it consumes that milk, we think of a message that we're going back to the basics, going back to that milk of the word, not the meat of the word, but to the milk of the word. And so as we consider the scriptures here this morning, let's look at it in the context that we would be as these newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that we might have an opportunity to grow. And so this message may be more about going back to the basics, about living in Christ, about being dead to this to the works of the flesh. And we read that in Galatians chapter 5, about how there's the works of the flesh, and then there's the fruit of the Spirit. And so I just want to take the time to go back to Galatians chapter 5 and read some of these things that are listed here as the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And to us here, gathered here, there's nobody here that isn't familiar with these things. These are the works of the flesh. These are what keep us from the kingdom of God. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. If there wasn't something captured in that list, the list ends with, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we know these things. We know that the works of the flesh are going to exclude us from the kingdom of God. And that's a horrible place to be, excluded from the kingdom of God. And these are the works of the flesh which manifest, which when are they are manifest, exclude us from the kingdom of God. And then it says, but, contrary to that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And so again, we're also familiar with this, the fruit of the Spirit. And so as we consider this portion of Scripture that we read this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, let's look at it by desiring this sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby, that we would take part of God's Word, even though it might be basic in doctrine, that we would be reminded of this yet again and yet anew, that the works of the flesh are going to separate us from the kingdom of God, and the fruit of the Spirit, as they are exercised, the Spirit gives life. And so perhaps we can look at one of the fruit of the Spirit this morning, and that is of goodness. Having goodness in our lives. And again, not our goodness, but the goodness of the Lord. And we can read of the goodness of the Lord and the goodness of the Spirit. It's not our goodness that would be made manifest, but that would be shown, but the goodness of God, because that's the fruit of the Spirit, not of ourselves, but of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that goodness being displayed and manifest and shown throughout to all peoples, whether they be believers or unbelievers. And so when we consider the goodness of the Lord, let's consider some of the scriptures that as we, and there are many, as we think of God's goodness. King David, he was often in difficult situations. And he wrote a psalm and he says to the Lord, spare me from mine enemies. Deliver me from mine enemies that have gathered round about me. And then he continues on in that psalm and he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Without the goodness of the Lord, we would fail. Without the goodness of the Lord, we would capitulate. We would give up. There would be nothing. Without the goodness of the Lord, without his manifestation of his goodness in our lives, there's no victory that we could have. It's the goodness of the Lord that saved King David. And then we read further in Psalms that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And as we observe, we take the time to observe God's creation in all of it, and then also his working in our lives, we can truly testify that the goodness of the Lord fills the earth. It fills the earth. When we think of the glory of the majesty of mountains and how they rise up to the sky, we see the goodness of the Lord. When we see the diversity in a tropical rainforest, we see the goodness of the Lord. When we see an elephant and the way it can use its trunk to feed itself and accomplish many things with the muscles that are in that trunk, we see the goodness of the Lord. And then when we see a hummingbird and its ability to flap its wings backwards and forwards and stay in one place, we see the goodness of the Lord. And then yet beyond that, but in a spiritual sense, we see the goodness of the Lord. We see that his faithfulness is there. We see that his love is there for the whole world. We see his loving kindnesses toward all. We experience his mercies. We see his blessings. The rain comes down on both the good and the evil. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. This is the Lord's goodness. This is the definition of the Lord's goodness. And his Spirit, as it occupies us, and as we live in the Spirit, and as we walk in the Spirit, we are to display then his goodness. The children of Israel often got themselves in trouble as they turned to idolatry and turned away from the Lord. When they were in that bad spot, they cried out unto the Lord. And then the Lord heard him. The Lord heard them. And then Psalm 107, how it just says over and over, there's that cycle. The children of Israel would fall into sin and in a bad situation. And then they would cry out unto the Lord, and the Lord would help them. And then the psalm says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. For his goodness. And for his wonderful works toward the children of men. That's the goodness of the Lord. This is the goodness of the Lord that fills the whole earth. And then we read in Romans that that would we despise this goodness? Despisest thou the richness of his goodness? This richness that fills the whole earth? Would we despise his goodness and his forbearance and longsuffering, knowing not that it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance? This is the goodness of God. That's what the goodness of God does, is it leads us to repentance, that we would not die, but that we would live, as we prayed together just now this morning. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that fills this whole earth. It's the goodness of God that has helped King David, the children of Israel, and we can see in lives of many around about us as our contemporaries in this generation that we see the goodness of the Lord, his mercies and his blessings, which are abundant, profound, and revealed to each and every one of us. And so we rejoice. We rejoice in his goodness. How about our goodness? What does the Bible say about our goodness? If we go to Romans chapter 3, it says that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We have no goodness of ourselves. In Proverbs, we read that most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And when we consider that proverb where it says that every man would proclaim his own goodness, we see that to be true because it's his own goodness. And he's proclaiming that. Look what I did. Look at the Pharisees were like, how they would stand on the street corners and pray and broaden their phylacteries and be wanting to be seen of men. It was their own goodness. But that goodness amounted to nothing. There was no value to God. Our goodness doesn't extend to God, as the Bible says. His goodness extends to us. And so it is His goodness that needs to be alive in our lives, not our own. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not of our spirit, but the Holy Spirit that is made manifest in this goodness that we would have. Jesus also spoke of this, about our own goodness. And he told the people there, he says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And so we have his Holy Spirit abiding in our hearts. We walk and we live in the Holy Spirit. And we exemplify his fruit in our lives. The goodness of God, glorifying him and magnifying his name. And so we hate those works of the flesh, and we embrace and love the fruit of the Spirit, because it is His Spirit that is operating in us to perform His will. And so with that, let's begin here in 1 Peter chapter 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking," that has to all be put away. All malice, the intent to do evil. That's what malice is, in an intent to a desire to do something evil. Can the goodness, the fruit of goodness, be expressed in our lives if there's an intent to do evil? It cannot be. They're completely different from each other. And all guile, having that craftiness, that cunning, that deception in our speech and in our words, that we're saying one thing but we really mean the other. And the Pharisees, again, were very good at this. Very good at this. And so guile should not be a part of our speech at all, to have that cunning deceit in our words. And then it also speaks of evil speaking. Can it be that the fruit of the Spirit would be made manifest in us and with goodness and yet be evil speaking? Is that possible? Certainly not. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. And again, this is rudimentary stuff. This is going back to the basics. That evil speaking cannot be a part of a believer's life who is walking in the Spirit and who is living in the Spirit, as it speaks there in Galatians chapter 5. "So as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." This is our desire, that we would grow, that we would grow in the Lord, and that we would know Him. Again, going back to Galatians 5, chapter 5, it says that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. Again, we know this stuff. This isn't new. This isn't deep theology. This is basic, rudimentary teaching. That the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another. But yet we are to grow in the Lord. These things are we are in a battle, and these things are happening in our lives, where the Spirit and the flesh are battling against each other. Which one wins? Which one wins, the flesh or the Spirit? The one that wins is the one that is fed. If we feed our souls, if we, as a newborn babe, desire to drink and take in the milk of the Word, the Spirit prospers, and the Spirit becomes strong, and we starve the flesh. And as we starve the flesh, then the Spirit wins. Wins in that battle in our lives, that we would be victorious in Him, and that we might then exemplify and walk, personify goodness, the goodness of the Lord in our lives. So we ought to, as a newborn babe, desire, have a strong, yearning for the sincere milk of the word, that we might grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have we not experienced that? That the Lord has been gracious? So gracious and so kind. We see that from the early days, from the days of Adam and Eve and all through Scripture and all the way through our time till today, that the Lord is gracious and he is kind and he is faithful. In 1 Peter here, chapter 2, it says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, and a peculiar people." This is who we are. Why? Because we have repented of our sins and we have yielded ourselves to the Lord. And we have allowed his Spirit to operate in us. And we walk in the Spirit and we live in the Spirit. And because of that, we become a peculiar people. We are not engaged in any malice or guile or hypocrisies or evil speakings or envies. We're not engaged in that anymore. We don't want to be a part of that because that excludes us from the kingdom of God. If that is active in our lives, we are excluded from the kingdom of God. The Bible says so. And so we are a peculiar people because we have yielded ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And he operates in us. And then it says that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the goodness of the Lord operating in us. That we show forth his praises. We exalt his name. When we see something that God has created, we give glory to God and note it and speak of it. And when God has blessed an individual, we share in that joy and we note it that God has done this. God has completed that in their lives. We show forth the praises of him who has called us out of that darkness, out of those things that that adultery, the fornication, the hatred, the wrath, the envies, the malice, all these evil things. He has called us out of that darkness and brought us into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And so we show forth his praises. That is a mark of one who is operating by the Holy Spirit and displaying that fruit of goodness in their lives. Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And then he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." There is a battle, and that battle is for our soul. Not for anything less, but for our soul. And though we be dead to sin, that wants to rise again. And we need to be aware of that. And so we are to abstain from fleshly lust. We are to starve fleshly lust and feed the Spirit that we might grow thereby. Be found in the Word. Be found in prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in us that as we have situations and things come our way, that we might discern them. And by the Spirit says, how can I display the fruit? What would God do here? How can I display the fruit of goodness? Being alive in the Spirit and abstaining from fleshly lusts. Having our conversation. So conversation here is our conduct, our lifestyle. Everything about us, our speech, our appearance, what we like to do, what we like to engage in, and the all the aspirations of our lives, that our conversation would be honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, because they do, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So here's another aspect of displaying that fruit of the Spirit of goodness, that we would have good works in our lives. That has to be evident. That has to be manifest, that good works are coming forth from our lives. And that fruit is displayed, and that fruit is seen. And then as people see that, it says, which they shall behold, they will see the good fruits, good works, not because we want to display them as the Pharisees did, but simply because our operating system is the Holy Spirit. And we are doing that which God would have us to do in his way, according to according to the ways of his kingdom. And they will glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Those that do well. These things will be made manifest. These things will be seen. And then he says further on here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Peter, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. This is what God would have us to do. This is, as he showed goodness, the Lord, as part of his attributes, is goodness. But that goodness is also shown to mankind. So as it's shown to mankind, as it's displayed and as it's given and presented to mankind, so it is in our lives that it is integral to us because the Holy Spirit resides in us, but also it's to be shown to all mankind, the goodness of the Lord. Not our goodness, but the goodness of the Lord, that from us it should be shown unto all mankind, so that we should show forth his praises, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should do good works, and that we would do well, that we would, in well-doing, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Then it says, This is how the fruit of goodness is displayed in your life. Honor all men. All men, the Bible says here. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Our love for each other should be made manifest. And we're here to build each other up. And that's what God did in when he showed us his goodness, is to save us, knowing that the goodness of the Lord has led us to repentance, that we might be saved. And so we are to love the brotherhood and have a desire that we would all be saved, that we would all be in heaven together. Fear God and honor the King. She speaks here also of, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. This is thankworthy. If we've done wrong and we are it's rewarded to us according to our wrong, and we take that patiently, that's good, but that's not what he's calling us to. He says, but if when ye do well, we do that manifestation of the goodness of the Spirit in our lives, when we do well and suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And this is what God is calling us to. And it was exemplified in Jesus Christ, as we read here further on. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. The goodness of the Lord, it was expressed by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was the example that he left for us. Peter beautifully spoke of it when he was talking to Cornelius, the first Gentile that was exposed to the Word of God. And Peter speaking to Cornelius and all the people that were with him, and he says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, just as we are anointed with the Holy Ghost, as we have been baptized into the Holy Ghost, and he operates in us. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. So as Jesus went about doing good, we also should go about doing good with well-doing, that we might put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should do these good things, and that the Lord, the the Lord's earth would be filled with his goodness. And Jesus was healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God is with us. God is with us. And we rejoice in what God has done for us. We rejoice in him. And we follow in the example of Jesus Christ, who went about doing good, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. No guile, no deception, no deceiving, saying one thing but meaning another. There was no guile found in Jesus' mouth, and neither should guile be found in our mouth. And he did no sin. And then it says, who, Jesus Christ, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Could it possibly be that we who have the Holy Spirit in us, that we would be able to revile against somebody? That's not the goodness of the Lord. That's not the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord, having that fruit in our lives, would never revile. Who, when he suffered, he threatened not. Again, we are to be a blessing unto others. We are to edify and build up, as the Lord did for us, as his goodness is displayed throughout the whole world. So when he suffered, he threatened not. And again, it cannot be that one who is possessed with the Holy Spirit and having the fruit of the Holy Spirit be evident in our lives and to threaten someone. It's not possible. But we commit ourselves to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, very rudimentary, very basic, we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, should live showing the goodness of the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we should live, for we were healed by his stripes. When it comes time in our lives that we have to make decisions, how are we going to respond? How are we going to respond to a situation? Or maybe even taking the initiative of ourselves. How can we display the fruit of the Spirit of goodness? There are multiple times, and one might say that there's multiple times in a day that we have an opportunity to display the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Not our own goodness. The goodness of the Lord. We'll have an opportunity to display that goodness of the Lord to others. May God give us wisdom in that time. That we would make the choice. Not my will. It's not about my kingdom. It's not about me. I'm here for God, and this is what he would have me to do as walking in the Spirit, being dead to sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. Paul, Silas, and Timothy wrote a couple of letters to the Thessalonians. And in those letters, this is what they wrote to the Thessalonians. And likewise, it could be for us here today. Today here in West Akron. Wherefore also, we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. We're called to be his. We're called to have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. We're called to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that we would be counted worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. We can propagate that goodness, that where the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That we would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. With power, his Holy Spirit working in us. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. That the name, and this is the purpose of allowing the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Jesus is to be glorified in us, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God, according to his grace, of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.